Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I'm very happy to have Klaus Hoke with me. Hey, Klaus.
How are you doing?
I'm good. So we are on Zoom. So if you are unhappy with our audio quality, though it sounds pretty good to me right now, I have a feeling we might be all right, but we are on Zoom right now. So that is how we're recording. So if the levels are off, my apologies, blame the Zoom Corporation. It's their compression, their algorithms making, you know, sometimes I sound too loud. There's nothing I can do about it. But anyway, we are here to talk to Klaus. The podcast before this one, you could hear an interview with Klaus and all about he and his film Emergence and actually his whole career. You can learn all about it if you listen to that previous podcast. You can see Emergence, which was at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2019 and won the Grand Jury Prize for Best Music Video. It is a beautiful work. It's actually a single choreographed drone shot of two actors and the composer and piano player Peter Manning Robinson playing the piece Emergence while the drone and the dancers perform a choreographed shot. It's just really wonderful work. So watch that. Go to, you can watch it if you go to the link. There'll be a clickable link in the show notes that go to Klaus's Vimeo page, but you can also watch this stuff if you want on a nice big TV. If you go to Amazon Prime Video and type in Discover Indie Film to search, and Emergence will be in season 9. And on top of that, you can also watch it right now if you go to watchtvhi.com, TVHI. That's a smart TV app and or streaming service. I don't know what to call it sometimes, but just go to watchtvhi.com and learn more and look for Emergence on there. I believe we put Emergence, it's listed as art house as well as a music video because that's what it is to me. But anyway, this podcast, we're actually going to just have Klaus answer the Discover Indie Film 4 questions that I made up 4 or 5 years ago when I started this podcast, which is to have everyone answer these 4 questions, which are: name 3 favorite films, name a film you think is underrated, name a film you think is overrated, and name a lesser known film that people should seek out. I have a feeling I'm going to really enjoy your taste, Klaus. So you want to just name, the questions are kind of intentional. It's not like name the 3 best films ever made. It's just 3 favorites, 3 films that you absolutely love.
My favorite film is Chinatown. I think it has a great script, it's great actors, great direction. It's the most complete film I've ever seen, you know, in all aspects. Another film I really like is Woman in the Dunes. It's a film by Tesha Kahara, and it's based on a Kobe Abi novel and takes place in these dunes in Japan. And it just really uses the environment to interact with the actors. I mean, it's unbelievably aesthetically really cool. And I think those are my sort of 2 favorite. I mean, I have so many others. I really like Pulp Fiction. That's another favorite. 2001. I mean, there's a ton of others, but those 2 sort of, you know, really, I really like a lot.
Yeah, Chinatown it's almost film school watching that film. It just teaches perfect screenwriting, directing, yeah, acting. You said, every element is just wonderful.
Yeah.
And I'm with you on the others too. I haven't seen Woman in the Dunes, so I got to see it. But I am a big fan of Pulp Fiction. Sometimes I'm a Tarantino apologist, but what can I say? I think when he's on, he's on. And yeah. 2001 is just, you know, I'm sure we could discuss all the Kubrick, and, you know, it's for me, it's Strangelove. Sometimes it's 2001, depends on the mood, like which one I think is his best. But so many of his films are just remarkable.
Yes. And it's one of those things where you just really like, there's a whole career there, you know, and like I mentioned that one time of doing all these things, you know, where he does a sci-fi, or he'll do horror, or he'll do dark comedy. You know, he had that, that within him, you know, to do that. So it wasn't all just, you know, of a type of genre, you know.
Right. And when he did those genres, he made, I mean, I guess it was a bit of an ego flex maybe, but I mean, but when he made a comedy, it was one of the funniest films ever made. Like, it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although leaning on Peter Sellers to perform three parts, he was supposed to do four, right? But he did three. Kind of a cheat, you know, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, question number two is a film that is underrated.
For me, a film that's really underrated is Shoot the Piano Player by Francois Truffaut. It's based on a sort of a hard-boiled noir thing by this guy named David Goodies. He was, you know, a writer from that, from the 40s, 50s and stuff like that. And if you watch that film, all the movies that have used sort of like this, you know, when crime figures are committing a crime and they talk about inconsequential things that don't matter. You know what I mean? Like they're waiting to kill somebody, but they're talking about, oh, what they ate, you know, like in Pulp Fiction, the Mac Cheese, you know, the Royal, all of that stuff, the Elmore Leonard stuff, that was started there with Shoot the Piano Player. You know, the big, the Fargo, Big Lebowski, even Flypaper, my other film, those you can trace back, and if you see Shoot the Piano Player, you can see them doing that. And it's another really low budget thing because he couldn't raise the money to do it. So they shot it themselves, you know, around the streets of Paris and stuff. And I think it's really underrated in terms of everything that came after it.
Excellent. Excellent. I have to confess, I haven't seen it. So I gotta add that to my list. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's the question number three is very fun. It's a film that is overrated.
Well, you know, overrated, there's a thing where it's overrated, and there's overrated where it wins an Academy Award. And I think the most overrated one was Forrest Gump. That film just bothered me to no end, and that it won the Academy Award. It beat out Pulp Fiction. It beat out Shawshank Redemption, you know? And for what it is, I mean, there's a lot of people who love it. I for the life of me, you know, it's not an awful movie, but it's just so overrated. And that it won the Academy Award really hurts my head.
Well, and you nailed the question the way I sometimes in advance, I'll add if you were thinking for a while longer, I say, you know, it's not, we're not insulting the film. We're not saying it's bad cinema. We're just saying it was overrated based on, yeah, awards or recognition, right? Or, yeah, the idea that, I mean, the number of times Shawshank Redemption is in somebody's three favorites of all time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just remarkable how beloved and what great cinema that is. Yeah, and the idea that Forrest Gump, which is a good film, but a good film isn't supposed to clean up at the Oscars. And, you know.
Right.
I will say, in reference to our previous podcast conversation, sometimes I am amazed with Robert Zemeckis that he's able to get. I don't know how they got Forrest Gump made, actually. You know, it's such an unusual story. I'm kind of impressed that they got it made, mm-hmm. but it's not my favorite Zemeckis film. So, you know, in fact, if I was to look at Zemeckis's career, I'd be like, you know, they should have given him Best Picture for like one of the other things he did, not that one. But anyway, mm-hmm. I'm rambling.
Yeah, no, I'm not a Zemeckis fan per se. You know, I'm just trying to remember what. Did he do Animal House or something like that?
No, that was John Landis, but Zemeckis was...
Who's the one who did the helicopter thing? The
decapitation? That was John Landis. Oh, the Twilight Zone disaster? Yeah.
Who was that?
That was John Landis.
That was Landis, okay.
Yeah, John Landis was directing that one. He's the Animal House, Blues Brothers, you know,
right?
Coming to America, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and then... Yeah, but then that Twilight Zone accident pretty much derailed his whole career.
All right.
Because, you know, pretty disastrous. I wonder if young people are even aware of
that. Yeah, you know, those things get lost in time, you know, until
for
you
sure.
review
for
them.
Sure.
But.
All right, well, question number four out of four. The last one is a lesser known film for people to seek out.
Well, you know, what I should say, what I'm going to say is, I think when we talked earlier, I mentioned the film Following, Chris Nolan's film. I think that's something people should look at, because it sort of sparked the whole non-linear storytelling narrative stuff, and it culminated in his next film, or a film after that, which was Memento. And all the elements of Memento are in Following. And I think it's really worth seeing, especially that it was done on such a, you know, indie, hey, we're shooting on the weekend in black and white, 16mm kind of thing. So I think it's really worth seeing.
I agree. Yeah, it's, well, what can I say? I'm going to make my last biased, inappropriate comment, which is that I wish more people seen Following than you know, Tenet, you know. Zoom blocked us out. I was saying I wish more people have seen Following than Tenet, like the more recent Nolan film.
They should watch the Tenet, the Polanski film. Oh. You ever see that?
I didn't.
It is a unbelievably cool. You ever see Repulsion?
No, I don't think so. Come on.
That is unbelievably great filmmaking. And it is so weird and scary and interesting that anyway, those are two other films that people should really see.
That, I'm going to write them down, Repulsion and the other Tenet.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, well, I think I've taken up enough of your time.
Well, it's a pleasure talking to you. And it's a lot of fun because I don't get a chance to talk to people about films like this in that sense, in a very aesthetic way and all this other stuff. So it's been really a pleasure.
Thank you. Well, it's a pleasure for me, too. I admit that's why I do this. It's honestly just kind of a fun side thing to do. And it's just I appreciate people like yourself who take the time.
Yeah, and I appreciate you organizing a neighborhood film festival.
We are both Sherman Oaks residents, and yeah. When we were 10-ish years ago, when we were launching a film festival, we couldn't pick a name, and I was like, "Wait a minute!" And now this is very neighborhoody because Klaus and I live in Sherman Oaks. Encino had a film festival, Tarzana did, North Hollywood did, the Valley in general did. Like every community around us had a film festival and Sherman Oaks didn't. And I was like, I must correct this just for what is now my hometown. Of course, I grew up next door in Studio City, of all things. That's how far I've gotten in life.
Cool.
All right, well.
We'll talk soon,
and I will do my closing spiel, which is thank you, everyone, for listening to this podcast. I forgot to say this last time, but be nice and like and subscribe to the podcast. Give it 5 stars wherever you're listening to it. This podcast gave birth to a TV series that's on Amazon Prime Video, so look up Discover Indie Film on there, too. If you want to learn more, go to discoverindiefilm.com, and it's @DIFWINS on social media. Klaus and I met because his film Emergence was at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. We hold that every November. And you can learn about it at ShermanOaksFF.com, and it's @ShermanOaksFF on social media. Sister Festival, because we were arguing about what to name the festival 10 years ago, so we did two names, want to see which did better. And they kind of do equal, so they've both survived. So the other one is Film Invasion Los Angeles. We hold that every June, and you can look it up at filminvasionla.com, and it's @filminvasionla on social media. And yeah, at the top, I mentioned this TV High thing. Just go to watchtvhi.com, learn more about it. Klaus Hoke, thank you for taking the time.
My pleasure. Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Yeah.